Welcome to Truth Talk for Conscious Entrepreneurs. This is your host, Emma Churchman. Welcome to a limited series I've created titled Cleared for Profit, Heal Your Trauma to Grow Your Business, where I interview experts on how trauma informs your business.
Welcome to this podcast episode. I am delighted to have Mead Newman here with us today. I have personally worked with Mead for a while. She's a master healer and the owner of Renewed Spirit Healing. She blends energy healing, massage therapy, and life coaching together to balance your body, your mind, and your spirit. So she's really taking the approach of empowering people to have a conscious role in their own health. And she's developed a special passion for working with folks in order to help them really step into their full authentic expression. And Mead, I'm delighted to have you here today.
I'm amazingly delighted to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me, Emma.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, of course, what I'm interested in talking with you about is the blend of the role of the body in helping to articulate and heal from trauma, especially because I know you and I have been on that journey together with my own body over the past couple of years. So let's start here. What inspired you to start working with trauma?
Well, I guess I've always been one of those people who, when somebody hurts, I want them to feel better. So that was kind of part of my basic DNA. But I was also blessed with receiving some training from a very unusual source. My first master healer, who was my master, found me when I was 15 years old. And it was a really amazing experience to understand that you could actually work with the body, work with the energy, and you could make people feel better. And that to me was just the most exhilarating feeling, was to realize that I could take those expressions of worry and pain and suffering and watch them transform into joy and relief and enlightenment.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So in this podcast series, we're focusing on conscious entrepreneurs and how trauma affects entrepreneurs and business. And I know you've worked with a number of entrepreneurs. How do you see trauma impacting the physical, the spiritual, the emotional body?
Oh my goodness. It's pervasive. It's insidious. I've watched people that literally had created kind of a built-in safety harness into their bodies, and that would affect how they were willing to work in their businesses. And it's not just healthcare practitioners, but entrepreneurs of every field, whether they were physically manipulating their body to do, you know, large amounts of labor, or if they were sitting behind a desk. They sometimes would take the trauma of being betrayed, and I've seen them stick it as knots between their shoulder blades, literally as if they have been stabbed in the back. And then they hold those wounds there and they keep trying to work through it. And until they have a chance to actually identify it and release it, they're in pain and they're suffering. Some of them will end up taking on too much of other people's issues, particularly those that work in the healthcare industry. Sometimes it'll run right up either side of their spine, all the way up into the back of their neck, right at the base of their skull. And they just sit there with these huge amounts of pressures of other people's emotional traumas that they have no real way to deal with, and it triggers their own traumas. So they go back and forth and they end up being this little kind of foosball game within their bodies of traumas triggering traumas. So it can affect everything from the way they make money to the way they make sales to the way they talk to their clients to whether or not they can convince somebody that they're an authentic person.
Cool. Great articulation. And I'm curious about, I loved your description of the safety harness or the knots in people's shoulder blades. I know you've been a massage therapist. You're stepping more into doing just energy coaching these days. But can you give myself and the listeners a sense of how you work with someone who has come to you for a massage because they're an entrepreneur, their neck hurts, their back hurts, things aren't working? How do you start to help that person understand what's really going on in their bodies?
Partly, I work with my intuitive senses. Just as everybody has, you know, everything coming in at them through their eyes, their ears, I have a lot of information that gets thrown at me from an individual, particularly when I lay my hands on them. And so when I start looking at a spot that is hurting them, immediately I start hearing and seeing bits and pieces, impressions of the emotions that they're going through. And so I'll start asking them questions to see if we can't flesh out what is the connection here and maybe what's a level that goes a little bit deeper into it. Sometimes it's just a matter of getting them to see that there is something there and to make them realize that it doesn't have to be there anymore, that whatever they went through that created that wound, it's in the past. And it doesn't have to continue to take up space in their lives, and it doesn't have to continue to wound them and hurt them. So, you know, the massage, of course, is one of the most easily direct methods, because I can literally put my hands on the knot or on the strain, on the stress, and help disperse it from that area in the body. But I find the energy work is a more emotionally direct place, because when we empty a reservoir, if we don't fill it back up with something positive, then it calls to the thing that was in there to begin with. So in other words, if you were holding traumatic, negative, suffering energy in that area and your muscles were tensing up trying to cope with it, we release that, but we don't put anything else in it. Those muscles are still expecting that energy to be there, so they'll find a way, even if they'd not more tensely, because they have nothing else to work with. They have no new input. That's basically the thing, is getting to work on both the body and the mind and the emotions all at the same time.
Does that make sense? I love the idea of refilling that energetic space that has been cleared out. And I want to talk about that in a minute. But the first question I want to ask you, because we're speaking of trauma being stored in the physical body, the body in the third dimension, and also in the fourth dimension, in the energy of feeling, of emotion. So why do you think that trauma gets stuck in the physical body and in the emotional field?
Well, to begin with, we're not just flash drives plugged into the top of our body. You know, we are actually completely manifest in this human body. Just as the nerves are moving physical sensations throughout our flesh, they're also moving emotional sensations. And our muscles end up acting like coping mechanisms. So when we have a big trauma or a big energy event that happens, sometimes it's more than what we can physically handle at that moment. Kind of like if somebody threw a big pot of water at you, even if it was drinkable, you wouldn't be able to drink all of it as it hit your face. So you end up getting wet. Well, in the case of traumas, your body's trying to protect you. It lets go what it can let go of. It processes through what it can process through. And then it takes in that energy as best it can, expecting you to go back through at some later point and run it through and process it. And sometimes simply moving can help for some of the smaller traumas. I think we've all seen that when we do something as simple as, you know, straining an ankle or something like that. But sometimes it takes more of a learning to trust ourselves, learning to understand what our knee-jerk reactions were in the moment. Why did we react negatively to that situation? And what can we learn from that situation so that not only we have realized we've lived through that whatever it was, but that we have a new way of moving forward that we can try to apply if it ever happens again. And that gives us the flow back where before things do just get stuck. You know, just as our minds get stuck in patterns, our energy gets stuck there, our flesh gets stuck there.
Fantastic. Do you have the sense that our bodies are communicating with us all of the time?
Absolutely. There is never a time when your body isn't trying to tell you something. Sometimes it's just something as simple as, by the way, your foot's over here. I could really go with a drink of water. You really need to sit down for 5 minutes and catch your breath before you go on to the next thing. Simple messages like that. Other times they're much, much deeper ones where we have either desires or fears or, you know, strong emotions that are desperately trying to get through to us that we've been unable to hear for years and years and decades and sometimes even lives.
Yeah, absolutely. And as someone who personally has spent decades ignoring my own body or not feeling safe in my own body, can you speak to folks like me, to people listening to this episode who may not even know how to begin listening to their bodies? Do you have any techniques or recommendations to offer?
I like, honestly, to do a dialogue with my body. That's a nice, easy, simple place to start. Kind of imagine that your body is like the young kid that's been neglected for a long time. So when you first start to pay attention to it, you may get the play-by-play yelled analysis of every little tiny thing that's been going on for the last 3 years. And it's not because there's that much going wrong. It's because it's literally reacting to the idea that you're listening. And it gets really, really excited about it and goes, oh my God, she's listening. Quick, let me tell you everything. Because you might not be listening again for another 3 years or 30 years. So kind of expect that excessive dialogue at first. But as you keep coming back and talking to your body and listening to your body, it will begin to feel that this is a safe, consistent communication. It won't get scared that you're going to stop listening. So it'll start making what it's telling you a lot more specific, a lot more what you can actually do something about. And that dialogue can take the form of anything that works for you. Some people process better out loud. Some people process better in the written word. Some people process better just in their heads. So I would definitely encourage you to do whichever feels comfortable for you or your listeners. But actually imagine that you are talking to another person, another creature, another entity that maybe doesn't speak entirely the same language that you do. And ask it what's wrong. If there's a place that you already know is hurting, start there and see, you know, like if you've got a knee that's hurting, You can say, hey, me, what's going on here? Why are you hurting? What are you trying to tell me? And then don't try to analyze those messages that come in. Just put them down. Just listen to what it is, because it may be the strangest, most off-the-wall things. It may be things that make perfect sense. You know, if you stumbled yesterday and twisted your knee, okay, that's part of it. But if you also start getting messages that you're stumbling through life because you feel like your footing is unsafe and that you don't know where you're going and that your knees have taken all of the impact that they can from this constant stumbling, that may also be part of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and that was an excellent example of both how to dialogue with your body, but also the symbology that different parts of your body represent. And I know you and I have done a lot of work on my low back, which loves to go out when I am not listening to my body. My low back will often decide to stop working. Can you speak into the symbology of that?
The low back is one of my favorite areas to work with. For those that are familiar with chakras, the root chakra, which is down at the base of the tailbone, is where we symbolically and energetically divide from the world, and we begin to realize that there is an us and a not us. And it's not that there's a fighting with the world that is not us, it's just that there is a differentiation. The chakra that comes above it, your belly chakra, your low back, is the one where we then begin to relate back to the people in our lives. So that area of the low back and hip ends up being kind of our foundation, where we put all of our building blocks of intimate relationships, how we understand our place in the world. It can be our jobs, it can be our house, it can be our garden, it can be a lot of things like that. And so when we have things in our lives that change that are representative of these foundation blocks in our lives, then that's when we find ourselves with our low back hurting, our hips hurting, things like that, because just like with a house, our foundation's shifting. Suddenly things are getting rocky. And so it can be fascinating to see when we've created scaffolding to allow ourselves to build in ways. And then sometimes we've held on to that scaffolding far longer than we ever expected we should have. I've even seen people who feel like they have all that low back kind of patched together because they've kind of jury-rigged their lives together for their whole existence. And suddenly they're learning that they could actually tighten it all in and allow it to be a whole. So sometimes there's good things, sometimes there's bad things, but shifts make a difference and portray their tensions and their pains in the low back very, very easily with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've definitely had that experience. Another piece that I'm really curious about, and this goes back to what you were saying a couple minutes ago, Mead, about when you are removing old wounds or trauma or that which no longer serves you in your physical body and your emotional body, you need to replace it with something so that your being doesn't return to old patterns, old ways of being. I would love for you to speak into that some more about some examples of what that looks like.
Anytime that you experience joy, you or positive emotions, you fill up to a certain extent. Just like when you put your hand in water, it gets wet. Sometimes the skin will go ahead and absorb some of that water. When we're working through kind of the healing process, it benefits us to do it consciously. In other words, it's the difference between allowing our skin to soak up some water because it's there and actually taking a drink of water. So one of the things that I like to tell my clients is to find happy moments, find safe moments, times that they remember when they felt beautifully, ecstatically happy or completely serenely safe. And to think back and feel back into those moments and remember what that felt like and let it fill you up. And sometimes when people have gone through traumas, they can't remember those moments because they put the pain into a stark contrast. So it's one of those protective things that we sometimes wish our body wouldn't do or our mind wouldn't do. And in that case, I would say it's a good time to go with either faith-based or elemental-based things that can allow you to feel cleansed and purified and filled. So in other words, if you are, let's say, a Christian who finds great comfort in stepping into a church, then go sit in the church and fill up with that feeling of divinity being within you and around you and holding you. If you are someone who a lot of the folks that I work with are pagan, and I'll tell them to go outside and feel the sun on your face and let it fill you up, let that light fill you up until it burns away all the darkness and you're just completely filled with that light. And there's a lot of different ways. Anything, if you have something that comes to mind, honor your instincts, because everybody is different. Everybody has their own particular ways of understanding the world and working with the world. And somebody who works well with music is going to do things differently than somebody who works well with cooking. So, you know, whatever activities make you gleeful and joyful, I would definitely say that's something to look at, but do it consciously. Go back to that idea of you're taking a drink of water, not simply allowing your body to be in the water and hoping it works.
Yeah, that's excellent clarity. And thank you for those examples. Another thing that I'm really curious for your perspective on is I work with a lot of conscious entrepreneurs who are doubling, tripling, quadrupling their income, really making some radical changes in up-leveling their business. And what I see is that they will begin to up-level. They'll begin to take on this new vibrational state and way of being that requires them to be more visible, to release more limiting beliefs, to really step into their own authentic power more. And what happens as they're doing that is their mind gets that. Sometimes even their emotions get that, but their body, it's almost like their bodies cannot keep up. And as a result, the body will often go into struggle and have some kind of physical response, like getting a cold, getting sick, or in my personal case, vomiting, or, you know, the bat going out or whatever. Can you speak into how, as we are up-leveling in our businesses, how we can best support our bodies so that our bodies are not freaking out? Does that make sense?
It makes absolute sense, and I'm kind of giggling on this side because I'm currently in the middle of working on up-leveling, and I'm also working with a small patch of poison ivy. So, but one of the things that I have watched, for my case, usually when I get poison ivy, I get it on 70 to 80% of my body. The idea that I have three little tiny patches and it's not growing shows me that I'm learning how better to work with my body when I go through great change. And the biggest part of it is you have to remember that you're working with your body. You're not fighting it. Your body, everything that it does is as a means of attempting to protect you. And so those things that we do when we get a cold, when we get any of these backlashes of the body not being able to keep up, there is a secondary process that's been going on that we've been struggling against our bodies. We have to have compassion for our bodies. We have to have compassion for, yes, we have great excitement of what's going on, but have you slowed down and taken the extra cushion time that you need to absorb everything? Even when it's something fantastically good, your body still needs time to work through those energies. So it's even more necessary to take those times when you're doing massive up-leveling. Because that way your body can look with you and say, oh, this is fantastic. We're moving forward. And you're increasing the amount of support to me. I mean, just like if you were building a deck, when you build the deck farther out, you need to add more support. Well, if you're increasing your amount of increasing the amount of how much you are giving out and doing with people, then you have to increase the amount that you take in for yourself as well, because otherwise you can't support all of the other outgoing.
I absolutely agree with that. And that's certainly a pattern that I see with entrepreneurs when they have their first breakout month, like 20,000, 50,000, 100,000 in sales in 1 month, is that often what will happen is that vibrationally they will contract the next month and their sales will go way down. And I believe that happens because those entrepreneurs are not doing two very important things. One is managing the infrastructure of their business, right? Like if you've just done $100,000 in sales and you've never done that before, you need to ensure that you can support your clients and fulfill your commitments in a way that that is sustainable in your business, right? Because if you've brought in a bunch of new business, you've got to be able to support it. The second piece is the infrastructure inside of us, right? Not only our own limiting beliefs or our own fears, that kind of thing, but also our own physical and emotional well-being. And so absolutely, we need to really step it up with self-care. But instead, what I see entrepreneurs is going and having a breakout month and then saying, oh my gosh, I have to replicate this immediately. I have to start pushing and hustling and striving so I can have just as high of sales the following month. They don't do the self-care, they don't do the infrastructure, and it doesn't work.
Exactly. Exactly. And when they don't take care of themselves, their body will force them to.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I remember getting bronchitis for 8 weeks right after I hit that 200,000 in sales in 12 months. I got sick because my body, I wasn't caring for my body in that process. And my body let me know that that was totally inappropriate and would not be happening again.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how our bodies can be one of the ultimate checks on what we do going forward. And sometimes it's just a matter of resistance where our body is working with the fears that what if we become successful? But sometimes it's that, hey, you forgot to take care of me, so I'm going to shut you down now because you can't do this.
Yes. Yeah, me, can you speak into that? How do you see that fear of success showing up in the physical body?
Oh, wow. I have seen so many people who end up with well, their shoulders up around their ears and that tension there, because they're literally cringing, waiting for the next scary thing to happen. I've seen people who were tight across the front of their chest, even to the point where they either had shallow breathing or had actually caught themselves not breathing, even to the point of sleep apnea, where they stop breathing because they're continuously feeling that fear coming at them that something must be terrifyingly about to change, about to be wrong. And so they live without that safety, without the ability to relax. And the body can only go so long on that before it starts really warping itself into terrible knots and terrible means areas that refuse to function anymore. It can really become a chronic problem if you don't address those fears. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I've certainly seen that in myself and in other entrepreneurs. Really wonderful insights and feedback, Mead. How can people learn more about you?
The easiest two ways to find me are online on my website, which is www.renewedspirithealing.com. And you can also find me on Facebook, also Renewed Spirit Healing. I do a kind of a mind-body uplift blog every day. That just helps people create the silver lining so that they have the tools to not get stuck where they are. That way they can create the world and the life that they want.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being on the show, Mead.
Thank you for having me.
Many blessings.
Are you a conscious entrepreneur who has hit a financial ceiling in your business? Do you find yourself up in the middle of the night wondering where your next sale is going to come from? Do you struggle with working harder and harder yet not getting better results? Do you have a deep desire to take your business to the next level, but you aren't sure how to get there? If so, let's talk. I offer 30-minute complimentary consultations specifically designed to help diagnose what's keeping you from growing your business. To schedule your consultation, go to emmachurchman.com/consult Emma.